The following, was at the Rock Springs meeting, the first Sunday in November 1971.
Because there's some wonderful and glorious things contained in this that no one but the children of God, by that I mean no one but the child of God who has been brought into the knowledge of the truth. Now there are many, many, no doubt thousands of the children of God in this world today who are included in the election of grace and the choice of God, the love of God, was as of this moment, we might say, they have not been brought by the Spirit of God into the knowledge of the fact that they are children of God. But those who have been brought to the place that they have been quickened to the knowledge of the truth, to know that they in their flesh are dead in trespasses and in sins, and who have been brought also to that new birth, the spiritual birth, in which the Spirit of God has revealed to them that they are children of God, and they have seen with that eye of faith, with Jesus, of course, is the author and the finisher, they have seen the kingdom of God, that is, they have seen the church. Only these, I say, who have been thus brought upon, given, as we are so apt to call it, and I think properly so, given an experience of the grace of our God, and the feeling and the comfort and the joy to feel that the Lord even has looked down from his high and lofty throne upon such a terrible wretch, a terrible sinner as we are, and has opened up to our understanding that so far as our flesh is concerned, we're just like every other Adam creature, every other one of the Adam posterity. But he has done something for us that is peculiar, that is something out of the ordinary for the human experience, the Adam creature's experience, because he has opened up to our understanding what we had in us all the time, but didn't know it. And it takes that Spirit of God to do that. And I say that no one, except those who have thus been wrought upon and given the hope of eternal life. The apostle said concerning the hope that so many people, when they're talking about it, when they hear the Lord's people talking about the hope of eternal life, that they don't want anything to do with that. And they say that we don't have it, we don't need a hope, we just have, we need the assurance, that's what we want. And the hope doesn't do us any good. It is all because that they don't have a hope. All because that the Lord has not wrought in their hearts, or sent forth his Spirit into their hearts, and made them to see what they really were, and how greatly they stood in the need of the grace and the mercy of God. These and these are given to the Spirit of the Lord, the grace and the mercy of God.
Read these and It's also the wonderful and glorious thing of the teaching of Jesus himself. And the title of this is what I read, and I told it at that time. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father. I thank you, O God, the God of heaven and earth, because I have stood thee first from the wise and the prudent and revealed them unto those. Even so, Father, that's all seen good and by faith. Now that's as far as I was, I quoted by now. But in reading this today for myself, even this morning, I noticed how closely those things that followed this quotation that I have already read, how necessary it was to continue that quotation of that reading of what Jesus further said after he said, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in my heart. Then he said, all things are delivered unto me in my heart. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and who to whom forever the Son will reveal him. Then he cried, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me. For I am weak and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. That first and last chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew. And may we look to God in the Lord's prayer. Our gracious and heavenly Father, as thou hast blessed the steward, and I believe the people to be gathered together this place in their time. We feel it in our hearts to give thee thanks. And Father, call it out upon us and so remember us in thy mercy. As thou put it in our hearts and minds to come to be with our brethren in their time, we might mingle our voices together in faith and honor and glory unto thee, our God. Because, O Lord, thou hast done great things for us, will I be, have never deserved the very least of thy blessing. And yet thou hast loved thy people, and we fools to believe by the manifestation thy spirit has found in our heart. For even we are among those that thou hast sent thy son here into the world to redeem. And all thy sins and our iniquities has given us help and experience in time.
Heart of days.
Knowing our weakness in the flesh, knowing that in our flesh we are mark of being, that thou hast put that sentence upon these fleshly bodies of ours, and all that is nothing and nothing about us, that we live here according to the time appointed, coming here at that time, living all the days that thou hast appointed to us, and then we shall lie down in death. We want to know the very life of the deep and our way to us. That thou hast been pleased only to bring us to see what vile sinners we were in thy sight and left us there. All the remaining days of our lives, if we were to be cast away from the just and true God, the only true God, and have no hope while we remain in this world. And we thank thee, Father, that though it was thy will to bring us to see ourselves as we were the world in thy sight, caused us to be brought to repentance, and to beg of thee for mercy to have pity and compassion from this sinner like we were. Somehow, Lord, we feel that thou wouldst invite the devil in our hearts, and thou wouldst also hear it. Much as David, thy servant of all, said, he waited patiently from the God, and the Lord in time he gave unto him, and he heard his cry. So, Lord, didst thou hear our cry? And now this spring we shall find ourselves in all the most conditions that we were in. When we found ourselves condemned and justly condemned sinners because we had broken every law. And thou hast pronounced against those who transgressed thy law. We come therefore, O Lord, this morning, desiring with a desire to enable us to look beyond this mortal, these mortal seas. And fully aware that we are still mortal, subject to the end of our journey here in this world. But that we might have grace, O Lord, for a little while this morning, faith given to us. That we might look up and away from these mundane things which give us so much trouble and rejoice in that hope of eternal life. To know that though we are vile sinners and condemned to death, and that in thy pity and thy compassion and because of thy great love, thou hast sent thy Son in days of old to redeem all of thy people from all of their sins in their iniquity. Oh, what a movable time it would be for us to remain here without this hope of eternal life. We fool our life to know that it was all of grace, and all because of thy great love of thine, and that thou didst open up our understanding, as well as your relief, by giving us that hope and bringing us to that new birth in which we were born into the kingdom of our God, which was a separate kingdom, so much higher, more wonderful, more glorious, and the kingdom of this earth is wonderful as the handle of it is in this low ground of power. And yet, O Lord, the things which thou shalt do to us are so far more wonderful than all of thy handiwork in this world, though we know that the heavens declare that thy glory and the sermon that shows thy handiwork from day unto day of the speech, and not in the earth, spirit, man. We therefore, O Lord, would praise thee because thou hast given us hope and assurance that though we live in this world and are going to die, we must die. The sentence of death is upon us because of our sins and our iniquities. But though we die, we are promised to be having implanted in our old being. And though we die, we shall live again. Oh, what a gracious and wonderful blessing that thou dost bestow upon thy people, Father. And thou hast given us the love, not only for thee, our God, but for thy dear Son, as he has been revealed to us as our Savior. But also the love that is in our hearts for thy people and to whom thou hast revealed the very same thing. And how we love to gather together in that one common bundle of love and fellowship, and there to see the image of our blessed Savior in the faces and in the daily walk in the conversation of those whom thou hast brought out of so great a God. O Lord, we would praise thy name, we would worship thee, and at the same time, we have been made to know that our Savior said that there was a time that some of my words were made to worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. And that's why we pray the Father with desire this morning, that thou wilt make one, as it were, in our midst, that we might see thy presence. And that we might be enabled to praise and to exalt thy name above every name that has ever been named. There is none in heaven or in earth that is worthy of any praise or honor and glory, but thou, dear Lord, are worthy of all praise, honor, and glory. Only, Lord, enable us to praise thee this morning, to be thy will. Look down upon each one of us. We feel that each one would be the truth to the poor. We must be unworthy of all of thy people who feel to be unworthy. We move our lives with a desire to be lifted up a little higher this morning. To look beyond these mortal things. To look beyond these things which give us so much trouble here in this world. To look beyond these creatures of cities that is yet to come, whose maker and whose builder is God. And under which city, Lord, we have hope of coming. Because we have been redeemed from all of these sins and all of these iniquities. And Jesus Christ has taken up his abode in our hearts. So that to thee itself the power and the glory and the mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to find it in us. And with Jesus has taken up his abode. Jesus, inform in us the hope of glory. And oh, Father, could be thy will this morning. So we might rejoice and be stirred up in our pure minds again by way of remembrance. And the wonderful and glorious promises which thou hast given unto us. Stir us up, O Lord. Keep us in thy mighty power. We ask and try to keep ourselves. We ask and desire that we might be self-obtained and achieve thy faith, now and glory. Now then, we are left to ourselves for the moment and begin to test in our own self-will. And we find that thou hast made us to know that we're complete failures. And so we know, O Lord, that thou hast taught us and we know it through us. That it is only by thy grace that we are what we are. It is only by thy grace that we're given faith to believe and to know that thou art the only true and the living God. When thou just reveal in our hearts Jesus as thy Son, in him we saw thee, in him in thy Son Jesus Christ. And we beheld thy glory in him. And O Lord, may we this morning behold thy glory once more time. We still have to speak. Need thee every hour, every moment of every day. Do us as Father. And give us such things as thou knowest we stand in need of. And give us grace, O Lord, that we might be well satisfied with whatever thou art pleased to send us. We know that thou doest all things right. Only we need grace, Lord, to give us patience to run the race that is yet before each one of us. May we be given thy grace to ever look unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Lord, remember some mercy, remember our families, remember all for whom it is our desire and our duty to pray. All of us, thy people, wherever they may be scattered throughout the whole world, because thou hast the people everywhere in every nation, kin, tribe, and tongue. Thou hast the people in whom thou hast loved. Many and many hundreds and thousands of them we do not know. But we are glad that we have a God who does know. Because all things are open before him to whom we have to be. Remember, God in mercy, Lord, lead us and keep us in this unfriendly world. And over us to walk circumspectly. And over us to walk in such a manner, Father, that we can do thy will. That even unbelievers, even the world, can see the rock, behold, and hear our conversation. And know surely that the Lord has been with those. Because they have been reading the way from the world, despising the world, the things, despise their own lives, despise the things, the ungodly things that they know in their dreams. Dear Lord, have pity, may thy name have all the praise, the honor and the glory, now and evermore we beg to be this way. Amen. The subject matter is the Lord's will to give me a subject for all this morning and to open the subject up for me. Is, as I was exercised a short time ago, in the revelation that God makes unto his people, that God reveals to his people. Well, we well know that without revelation, without the teaching of the Spirit of God in the hearts of each one of the Lord's people, we well know that we would always remain just as we were in our nature, in our flesh, we will remain and will be today just exactly like all unregenerated people are. there wouldn't be a bit different in the world from them. But because of the fact that each one of us who have been brought out of these dark things, been brought out of darkness, you know, you said, as I mentioned the parson of, and said, that God has commanded the light to shine out of darkness this time in our hearts, to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, so each one of us knows that has been brought thus far on our life's journey, away from this world, and in the Lord's time we drop into, as we mentioned some time, Sebastian City, who is making building to God, to that upper and better, we express it sometimes kingdom, wherein our God rules and reigns in our heavenly kingdom, to which every child of God redeemed, as they are, by the grace of God, and through the death and the resurrection, through the blood of Jesus Christ. I say we're traveling home. The old brother used to say, this world is not our home. Peter, you know, said, when we first to hear the first epistle, he said they were strangers to the strangers scattered throughout these days. Pontius Pilatus, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, and so forth, you recall, they were strangers. Surely that meant that they were strangers and pilgrims in this world. So they were seeking a city to come. Somehow the Lord gives us grace, as the Apostle Paul said, to press onward towards the mark for the prize of the high calling, as it is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And so, my brethren, we take heart sometimes. We're glad sometimes. We're glad that we do not remain. It is not the Lord's will that we should remain here in this low ground. We be distressed, and we ought to be true. We shouldn't fight. But the question is, what has changed us? What has brought us away from what we were, and as a matter of fact, in our flesh only, we still are? What has brought us away? What has brought us and given us a different outlook, a different thought, a different assurance, that though we are thus so bad in the sight of God, and transgressed every law? For if we transgress one, we get the whole, remember. Transgress every law of our God. And as so far as our worthiness is concerned, we're not worthy, never have been, never will be, so far as the flesh is concerned. Worthy that God should look from heaven down upon poor sinners and have a degree of mercy upon them. Now those who have experienced these things know what I'm talking about. Those who have been brought to see themselves as the lowest of all the creatures of God. Yes, I remember feeling sometimes that as I see the worm crawling in the dust, Lord, I'm the Lord. But who makes us to differ? The apostle, one of the writers, asked the question, what hast thou that thou hast not received? Who makes thee to differ one from another? You know, every one of you know, who it was, who it is, who, that makes us the difference. Have you ever wondered why you love Jesus? Have you ever wondered why you love the Lord? It's not hard to answer, is it? John answered the question. Are we also that same answer? In our thinking and our desire in our prayer, when John said, we love him because he was first, like that. How true it is. If we hadn't loved us, if we hadn't been God manifest in the flesh, And if it hadn't been here for all along, we could understand the Father's will and the Son's will, and the Holy Ghost, the Spirit's will also, because we still run. If they had not loved sinners of God, we put it that way, but loved his people before we ever began and told his people. We must mark that, because that's where the beginning of your hope, the beginning of your justification lies, even before the world began, because God loved his people before the world began and told them, all of them, every one of them, in his Son Jesus Christ before the world began. For religion, hope, did not begin any time after the world began, but had its origin in the eternal rule and the purpose of our God before the world began. I saw the scriptures to substantiate that and to prove that statement. One of them was, is, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works. Oh, I wish the world, the unregenerated world, could read that sometime with understanding. Not according to our works, but according to whom? That is God's own purpose of grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Yes. Another one is, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, requiring that we showed us in him before the world began. Two scriptures proving the identity of the same thing. Well, you that have been thinking about it, have thought about it from days past, realize and know that we today, though we have hope, if we have hope that the Lord has brought us out and given us hope and assurance, we know that we are all that Adam family. We are all the posterity of Adam. And we know that as we were in the loins of Adam before we were ever brought into physical existence here, and we are sinners, just as Adam and Eve were sinners. And as such, we are under the sentence to fall of sin and survive. Were it not for that great love, and those eternal words and showers and suffers with our God, we would remain today just like we were in our flesh, just like all the unregenerated Adam family. Every one of them are today. But thanks be unto our God who loved us. That's the only reason. You know, Israel, he loved Israel, the nation of Israel. Not because they were more, nor greater, and I use my language here, nor more worthy of the Lord's love, but he said, I love thee. Because he loved them, he chose them. Never the only reason. That's the only reason he says, look upon you. By sinner that you are, as I said, I emphasize again, I'm worthy that the Lord should look down upon you, because you have transgressed his law, you turned your face away from him, sometimes you have denied him, you even as the apostle Paul in his unregenerated state, he blasphemed, as far as others could blaspheme the name of his God. But thanks be to God that Saul was a chosen vessel unto our God. Even as each one of you would have been brought to know your own condition and have been made the best of mercy, and God has given that peace and joy and hope, you too have chosen best unto God. Now, but as we remain, let's go back to see what we were in our flesh before regeneration and being born with the Spirit of God. We were just like everybody else, as I said. We had the same notion, we had the same spirit then that now works, the apostle said, in the children of disobedience. Yes, we were just like them. Now, brethren, you know, there is an atmosphere for the Spirit of God, God himself, because he is the Spirit of God himself. If we had not come to you, in your time, which was God's time to come to you, in the much the same way, or exactly the same way, that he came to Saul the apostle. If he had to come to you, and stopped you right where you were, there and then, without God and without hope in the world, you would still be right just exactly like you were. But thanks be unto Him who loved you. And you think for it to spirit into your heart, brings you out of darkness and through the marvelous sight of the Son of God, gives you hope of eternal life, and then you know it. You have experienced those stuff which seems so impossible to us sometimes. That God should have looked upon such characters and creatures that we are and have put in compassion. And what He did, that's what He did. He gave His own Son to come into this world. Now, here it said, as I read a little bit further here, some of that already read, when Jesus thanks to God, He said, I thank you, and I'll read the whole thing by the way. At that time, Jesus said, He said, I thank you, O Father, Lord of heaven and of earth, because I will keep these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them to babes. Oh, yes. He's done that. Jesus is thankful. I thank thee, O Father, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent. You know, the doctrine of the world is that God wants everybody to see and to believe. But He made it so plain that everybody that will read it can see it. That's what they say. Ah, but how terrible are the things they see. And call it seeing God and His mercy and whatever else to call it. Well, not for God's mercy, my brother, we'd be just exactly like they are today. And as a matter of fact, it is true. Regardless of what the word of doctrine, or meaning doctrine is, it is true that God hides things from men. They can't see them. He's blinded their eyes. One of the writers says, He's blinded their eyes lest they should see. Yes, that's what He's done. I'll have to quote another scripture that comes in there that you're very familiar with, I'm sure. He says, Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things that God has, to prepare for them that love Him. Now think about that. If eye hasn't seen it, ear hasn't heard it, heart can never understood it or thought about it, the presence of God is prepared for them to love Him. How in the world? How in the world can that unregenerated person see, believe, or hear? He can't do it. And what he was saying, I don't hear. Those who really have no hope for the eternal life are the loudest to profess. But I'm a Christian. I believe. Heaven is my home. I don't want to have anything to do with that stuff that the old Baptist called the church. I don't know. I want to know, I believe that I know. And all things that I'm sure of. Ah, but yes, my brother. Yes. I thank thee, Father, that thou hid these things from the eyes and children. And then the writer, you remember, said, who have hidden these things for them, for had they known that as those who crucified Jesus, had they known that Jesus was the Christ, they would not have crucified. God hid it from them, brethren. There's no other way around it. That's the truth. That's the scripture. God hid it from them. Therefore, they hid it, Jesus, because they did not know. And they had no reason to know. There was no revelation whereby they should know, as the children of God had the revelation that Jesus crucified. And therefore, because they did not believe, they had no reason to know. And they hid it here with a hatred that was beyond, almost beyond our comprehension. That is, Jesus went about and preached the gospel, was so meek and lowly, and did all things, speaking as one of those officers came from the high priest said, never man spoke to this man speak. And yet there was a hatred in their heart. That by which they went, I heard, and the people, the high priest, found false witnesses, and the burden before kill the king, and all the king said, I find nothing in this man. No reason for it all for this man to be crucified. And yet the gold in the hardness of their heart. And when the king said, hear me, you have neither released unto you this man of Arabia. And they heard in Jesus, they desired a murderer, a thief, they went unto us the rebels and so did it. Night after morning about the matter, the most born men, false spoken witnesses of truth, were their way to Jesus Christ, an imposter, blasphemer. And I've often wondered about Herod there when he says, I find no fault in the man. I wash my hands of it, taken. There's been no better than the God's will that those things should take place from it. Why? Because God had sent forth his Son in this world, because he loved his people, and nothing in the world in God's purpose could redeem all those people, or any of them, and all of them, from those things in the midst of the except the Lord of heaven, to die upon the tree of the cross, that his blood could pour out from his precious body, and his side as his ears stuck to his side. And as an old, pierced his precious hands and feet, and the crown of thorns was crushed into his head. Oh, that is God's will. What love, brethren. What love did God have? The poor sinners, unworthy of God's notice, and yet what love he had, but he loved them with an everlasting love, and gave his only begotten Son, who gave him from all sins and all iniquities. Do you remember sometimes what John said? In one of these, it was the first epistle, I believe, he said, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And then he says, it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him and be satisfied. Yes? That will be the end, so far as all necessary is concerned. That will be in the resurrection. That will be when all the works of the grace of God has been locked in the hearts of every child of God that is chosen when he stands before the world again. They've been brought forth into the Adam family, and the Lord has revealed and bringing them to that new or second birth, the new or the spiritual birth, I would say. And they have been, they had it revealed to them that they're God's children. Then the time will come. I don't know how many hundreds or thousands of years it may be, or how many days even. I don't know. Maybe an hour or two. I don't know. But when the whole works of the grace of God has been wrought, and all the children of God has been brought into an object of truth, I believe, I think, that the time won't be very long then, and when Jesus will come again without sin and salvation. But now, let me read this. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. He didn't say some things. He said all things. Now some people might say, well, yes, he delivered all things pertaining to his church to me of my Father. Oh, no, it is. Well, that is true. But all things which are my brother, our blessed apostle and brother Paul said to us. For we know, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to those who are called upon to Christ. For whom he did foreknow, then he also did predest and make to be conformed to the image of his Son. Moreover, those whom he did predestinate, then he also called. Those that he called, he also justified, and those that he justified, he also glorified. Now, Jesus said, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son. Let us know the truth, as closely as we can. And no man knoweth the Son, but the Father. Well, that's the reason. That's the reason, although it would have to include the next portion of this sentence, or this verse. That's the reason the Herod didn't know. That's the reason that the high priest of the priest, those about the temple in Jerusalem, didn't know him. Because he said that no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father, save the Son. The thing works, you know. It works both ways. The Father knows the Son, and the Son knows the Father. And then Jesus said, and who to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. In other words, You'll never learn it by a preacher standing up and telling you what you've got to do in order to be saved. You don't learn it that way. Man can't teach it. There's a better, one of the better provisions of the new covenant that God made to Israel after those days with a number of wives. But man said, no more, I teach his neighbor. Now, my brother shall know me the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least to them to the greatest to them. No man knoweth the Father, nor the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and whom to whom forever the Son will reveal him. Brethren, there's one verse of Scripture here that recording what our Savior said. It was enough to make us to know, if we have nothing else in the world, make us to know that all things, everything true, that we know about growth, nor the mercy, or the condemnation, or the need of the grace of God, all things are in the hands of the Father and the Son. And these two are one, of course, the Spirit comes in by faith. He says, all things are delivered to me and my Father, and no man knows the Son but the Father. Ah, yes. The world of doctrine says today, any man can know God. Any man can know Him. Now, if you would look about and see the handiwork, I like to think of those things so often, the handiwork of God. You know that, those things. These things are not hidden even from the unregenerated, because many people enjoy and appreciate the beauties of nature. And all, many of us like to travel and see the handiwork of God as it is displayed. But that isn't all of it. Yes, no man knoweth his Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son. Everything, therefore, it bears out what I quoted, John, I believe, who loves him because he first loved us. Well, because he loved us, and Jesus said, neither knoweth any man the Father. Now, I'd like to be on meeting to see this with the Lord would open your eyes. No man knoweth the Father save the Son, and who through whomsoever the Son will reveal. That don't sound like what I heard over the television last few months. You've got to make a decision, right? That don't sound like that to me. It sounds like, my brethren, that God comes to poor, hell-deserving sinners. Send forth His Spirit into the hearts of everyone that He loves and send His Son to the world. That's God's business. Not the business of men, not the business of preachers, not the business of churches. Now, though the church and the preacher and all these have their place in the so-called economy of salvation, yes? But now, I tell you, it takes the Spirit of God alone to redeem you. That's the only way. Yes, the only way. It must be by the Father sending forth His Spirit. And He said this, I put some more about the new covenant, if I can think of it, right? He said, I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, the house of Judah after those days, not according to the covenant I made with the fathers, which was the old covenant, of course, but a new covenant. And He said, I will write my laws in the heart. I'm not writing up on the blackboard. Not writing somewhere else just so you read them with a nicer eye, but I write them in the heart. Put them in the mind. Come here, some people stand up and tell you what you ought to know. Because it's the work of God. It's the work of God that you believe on Him, Jesus said, in whom He has sent. It's the work of God. So God does that. He writes the laws in the heart, put them in the mind. And tells unto them, I will be unto your God, and ye shall be unto your people. And no man, as I quoted, my teacher's brother, I was never saying, no, you will not, for they shall all know me, from the least to the greatest of them. That is, everyone that I have written my laws in the heart and put them in the mind, they shall know me. And it's absolutely impossible that the world doesn't know a thing the world about the truth of it. It's absolutely impossible for all the auditorium men, all the trumpets and the leaflets and the tracts and so forth, and men scattered throughout the whole world, nobody one of them has ever spoken the sinner. and offering to the knowledge of truth is the work of God that you believe. And that's what we're contending for here. That's what our brethren contended for here. That's what our Savior thinks. That's what we shall, by the grace of God, never forget the truth. It is by the grace of God that we all are what we are. I'm glad to teach that. I'm glad to declare that. I do so, my friends and brethren. Of course, knowing what I know, I hope I know. Knowing what I know, the grace of God, I would be terribly ashamed. God forbid that I should ever teach anything else but it is the work of God and not the work of the teacher, not the work of men. If it were the work of men, if they had a necessary part, if missionaries had a necessary part in the salvation of sinners, there are thousands upon thousands of people who have lived and died that never heard a missionary, that never heard of the gospel of the Son of God. They never heard anything because there are many places that these things, so-called missionaries, have never been. But the Spirit of God, my friends, is throughout the whole earth. And God knows these people, whoever they are. They may be English, they may be black or white or any other color. But if they're God's people, He sends forth His Spirit into your heart. God may not be able to lead your life or turn a thing. When the Lord teaches you right, He laws in the heart, put them in the mouth, and I tell you that the wisest people in all the world, because God is their teacher. And they're good students because God has taken care of the whole matter from beginning to end. Now, it follows here that no man knows the Son, and he saved the Son, nor the Father saved the Son, and he to whom so of the Son will be in him. Yes. Well, it's a matter of revelation, isn't it? Yes, you can't let it. You see, as I said, you write it in the heart, it's a matter of revelation. I thank you, Father, that thou should be saved. And I'm telling you, my brethren, when everything is hidden from you, you just can't see it, can you? You just can't know anything about it. Somebody will draw you, the illustration will be there in the dark sky. No light whatsoever there. And we were alone to buy it in you. That if there were snakes and all kinds of scorpions in that cell, if we didn't know they were there, we wouldn't be concerned about them, would we? But oh, let the light of the light come into that place where we were. And we saw the terrible things that were there. What a terrible condition we were in, how afraid we would be. And that's the way it is, brethren. We're in terrible conditions, so far as our place is concerned, born and sin and such pastures, without God and without hope in the world, so we didn't know. We take the revelation. Yes, we take the revelation. But the revelation is not something just imaginary. You know that, you who have the hope of eternal life. You who have been born with spirit, you know that it isn't just an imaginary thing.
Except the man
who's
born again.
Do you remember Jesus talking to Nicodemus?
Yeah, there is one thing,
my brother. Except the man who's born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. There is one thing, my brother, that we could put our finger on just one thing. There is one thing that is absolutely necessary among you hundreds of others, maybe we should say, absolutely necessary before we adopt the knowledge of truth. Now, we're talking about the new birth, being born with spirit. And we know that this new birth that we're talking about is completely absolutely different and contrary to the natural birth. And each one of us know that we have nothing to do with the natural birth, don't we? It's beyond our thoughts or comprehension of knowledge or anything about it, we wouldn't know anything about it. Well, now, if I could just draw that same thing to our attention now, we have nothing, absolutely nothing to do with our spiritual birth either. Jesus told it. And I told you so many times, maybe you didn't tired of me hearing me repeat it, but Jesus said that it wouldn't go up very listening. Now here's the sign there, every sense I tell you, if you come, it's a little door. You have nothing to do with it, did you? It goes very listening, you can't control the room. It blows very listening, and now here's the sign there, yes, you hear it all right. You don't know where it comes from or where it goes. He's a soul of everyone, not just some of them. A soul of everyone that is born with spirit. Brethren, that is entirely, as you know, from the spirit, it's entirely out of our hands. because if God in heaven looks down upon this one who is now dead in sin, and you know the most ridiculous thing that I've ever heard come from men of intelligence is that they stand up before men who are dead in sins and trespasses and without God in the world, and they tell them that you have a strength to believe. And when they're dead, to believe, there's absolutely not a spark of growth in any dead sinner. And how in the world, therefore, in not having any grace in them, not having any soul that God in us, how can they originate? How can they bring the beginning of the soul to the Lord? If the world tells you to do, you must do it. I heard it when I went to Sunday school, it says, how will the Lord know that you want to be saved? Unless you let him know about it. Ah, my brethren, I believe those things sometimes. But thanks be unto my God and your God that he took these things away from me, and he came to me when I was the most helpless one that he ever allowed to live on the earth. I was brought to see myself as a dead sinner, unworthy of God's notice, and turned to him to have mercy without the least thought and belief, assuming at that time that he could have or would have mercy upon me. And yet, my brethren, when I was in bed asleep, I suppose I was asleep, there was something killing. I took away all of these burdens and weights upon me. And from that day to this, I was going to begin to think about what a poor creature I am and how unworthy I am. I looked back to that very moment, that very place and time, that the Lord appeared to me. And I know it was when I had been begging him for mercy, not when I was telling him what I'd been doing for him. I'd never done anything for him. But everything was against him in a sense, couldn't he? I know, therefore, it is by the grace of God. The apostle said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And I know that it had not been for the Lord's will to reveal himself into such a poor, hell-deserving sin as I was. I've never known anything about it. And then I'm going to leave this here. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden. I will give you rest. This is not an invitation, my brethren. Not an invitation that you can throw out to the world and say, Jesus said, come, and all. We used to have an old pastor, a wonderful old man, he was, and I was just remembering him as a very young child. And he used to say, when he was given what he called it, didn't the altar call or something? He used to say, oh, to come. Well, I remember his voice. He had a very pleasant voice, a feeling voice. Oh, won't you come? Well, the Lord doesn't beg and plead and go and make those promises if you will do certain things. But these are too possible, and I said it's very necessary to see the context of all the scriptures, lest we get things out of line entirely. He said, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whom forever the Son will reveal him. And then immediately says, come unto me. To whom is he speaking? Go unto whom he has revealed. To whomsoever the Son will reveal him. These are the ones. They say, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. He doesn't say, come unto me, everybody. No. There was a limitation. There was this wonderful and glorious matter here he mentioned. All ye that labor and heavy laden. All ye that have been tired striving under the works of the law, the works of the flesh. To find to bring yourself to be justified by the inner sight of God. You who have labored unto this end, and yet you have been brought to see yourself as a miserable failure. Come, the Spirit says, come. Come unto me, all of you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. As then the Father, the Spirit of God does not stand in the field, bold, and persuade, or have to use, shall we say, extraordinary meaning. To bring one to Christ, because when the Spirit speaks in the heart of the poor sinner, I tell you that every resistance is within in the sinners of all that's concerned, as it was in the Apostle Paul or Saul, when the Lord spoke to him immediately, all the Pharisees opened the second out of him, all the self righteousness was removed from him, and they fell to the ground and cried, who art thou, Lord? And it's the same way with every child of God. When the Spirit speaks in the house, and when the Savior come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I ask what the worst things that we learn in the meekness and the lowliness of Jesus, take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And you shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I expect that to be not too long. That's what I intended, that what I desired to do, if I can bring it to a close with this conclusion. Here it is, my brethren, that it is by the grace of God that we are what we are. We know the truth because God has revealed it, that does reveal it into our hearts. We can't learn it with men, we can't study it and by reading out of books, but it must be revealed. He said to Peter, you know, when he said, I sacrifice the Son of the living God, he said, blessed art thou, Son of the body of flesh and blood. I love that thing, my brother, that is flesh and blood, and truth, the flesh and blood, has not to be given and to be my Father which is in heaven. And he, when Peter had said, I sacrifice, the reason Peter believed it was that the flesh and blood hadn't revealed it. He hadn't learned that the feet of any of the apostles or any of the disciples, he hadn't gone further to the temple and learned it. Now he was a fisherman. He was not in the high society of the church. But the Lord taught him, and he knew the truth. And so, he was the lowliest, the most unworthy creature that ever lived. If God is pleased to have mercy upon him, he's just as sure and safe to heaven in the mouth of glory, because my brethren, very well say that you have to be careful to keep yourself in the way, else you're not going to lose all these things and still die and go to hell. By the one often of himself, who has to search it forever. Not just a soul or a world, but forever. By the one often of himself, therefore, I say to you that if you have a hope of eternal life, if you know that Jesus is your Savior because of that peculiar, wonderful glory working in your heart, then heaven is yours. And you are the Lord, and the Lord belongs to the Father, and we are all three as the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, the one. So are we one in the Lord Jesus Christ, and heaven shall be our home. Not because of any of our work, but only by the grace of our God. May God be with you.